Have you ever played hide and seek? Oh, come on. I know you have, right? You've played hide and seek before? I have a granddaughter who loves playing hide and seek. Grandpa, let's play hide and seek. And she will run off and hide, but she delights in being found. You ever play with a little kid that way? They just delight in being found. Sometimes it may seem that we're playing hide and seek with God. Or at least he's hiding because we just don't see him in our lives. We just wonder where he is. The Bible does say we are to seek God. It says in the book of Jeremiah chapter 29, "For you will seek me and you will find me when you seek me with all your heart. And I will be found by you, says the Lord." Well, God wants us to find him. He really does. But not only that, do you know that throughout the Bible, God is seeking you. God is seeking you. Right there in Genesis chapter 3, Adam and Eve having eaten of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the one thing that God told them not to do, they were hiding. That's what sin does. It makes us fear God in the wrong way. And we're trying to hide from God. And God says, "Adam, where are you?" God came seeking Adam. And then in the Gospel of Luke, it tells us that Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. God is seeking you and I. He's seeking to save the lost. And we're all lost if we don't have Jesus. But when we do have Jesus, God is seeking us for another reason. And we're going to hear in the gospel today from Jesus' own lips that God is seeking worshipers. Not just any run-of-the-mill worshipers, but God is seeking true worshipers. We're in a series of messages on growing as mature disciples, mature believers in Jesus Christ, because that's what we're called to. Our purpose statement of our church is that we share this good news of Jesus Christ with every person. We want every person to know Jesus Christ and be saved, but also that we would grow to become mature disciples of his. And that's what Jesus wants us to do. And so today we want to talk again about worshiping as believers in Jesus Christ, because God is seeking worshipers. So let's look at the job requirements for worshipers. Open your Bibles to John chapter 4. John chapter 4, beginning with verse 20. Those page numbers are in your bulletin for the pew Bible in the pew rack in front of you. So if you don't have a Bible of your own, grab the one in the pew rack, turn to the page listed in your bulletin, and let us hear the words of our Savior Jesus Christ. Oh, I got to give a little bit of introduction here. Jesus is going through the area of Samaria, and the Samaritans worshipped in a different way than the Jewish people did. There was this tension between them, because although they said they worshipped the one true God, they really mixed it with some pagan religions, and there was a long time feud over how each of them worshiped. And so this woman of Samaria says to Jesus, John 4, verse 20, we read in his name, "Our fathers worshiped on this mountain," the mountain of Sychar, near Sychar, Mount Gerizim. But you say that in Jerusalem is the place where people ought to worship." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and it's now here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, I know that the Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. And Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you are the one who has come to declare to us the truth about yourself. Our Lord Jesus Christ, God become flesh to convey to us, explain to us who you really are. And so, Father, help us to hear these words of our Lord Jesus Christ today. And not just to hear them, but by your grace to receive them by faith and to see them applied in our life, to see what you are really after here, what you really want for us. Not so much want of us, but want for us. Help us to hear the gospel, the good news that is conveyed in this passage. In Jesus' name, amen. So what does God want? God is seeking true worshipers. And what's the job description there? Well, first of all, we find from verses 20 to 22 that what is necessary is to have a saving knowledge of God through Jesus Christ. He tells the Samaritan woman, you Samaritans worship what you do not know. Even though you use the right language or you have the right outward performance, you really don't know this God you are worshiping. And if we're going to worship God, be true worshipers, we have to know who we're worshiping. And it's not just simply knowing about God, as we've often said, it's knowing God personally, having a relationship to him, coming to know who God is. And how are we going to do that? Well, we can only do that through Jesus Christ, who came to show us the love and the glory and the goodness of God. And so we read in verses 25 to 26, the woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, the one God's going to send to tell us these things. And verse 26 says, Jesus said to her, I who speaking to you am he. I've arrived. I'm telling you right now what God wants us to do. He wants true worshipers of him. So we must have a saving knowledge. He says, you worship what you don't know. We worship what we do know. For salvation is from the Jews. It's a saving knowledge of God that we'll find out comes only through the Messiah, Jesus Christ. And so in 1 Timothy chapter 2, it tells us this. This is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior. Note that salvation theme. Who desires all people to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. God desires all people to be saved. And how are we saved? Well, we got to come to the knowledge of the truth. We can't worship God without knowing him. And we can't be saved without knowing this truth that is in Jesus Christ. It goes on to say this, for there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and humanity, the human being, Christ Jesus. The word for humanity is anthropos. We get the word anthropology, the study of humankind, mankind. And Jesus came in the flesh. He is God, but he took on flesh, both God and human, to bridge the way, to open the door, to give us access to the Father. So it says there is one mediator between God and humanity, the man Christ Jesus. And so we don't have access to God except through Jesus Christ. And in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13, it says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who are once far off, like that Samaritan woman, have been brought near by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's how we are saved, because Jesus Christ, I need to move this out of the way. So we see the cross, because that is how Jesus shed his blood and paid the price for our sins, so that we could be saved. So it says in Ephesians chapter 2, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Verse 18 says, for through him we have access by one Spirit to the Father. So it's through Jesus that we have access and we can be a true worshiper of him. Second point is that Jesus said, if you're going to be a true worshiper of God, you must, that's Jesus' word, you must worship in spirit and in truth. Well, what does that mean? That's the second job requirement here. Well, to worship the Father in spirit is that we can connect with God through the Spirit of God living within us. Jesus said God is spirit, and he who worships him must worship in spirit and in truth. Well, what does that mean here? Jesus said in John chapter 3, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. We heard that in our baptism today. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. That's part of that salvation, knowing God personally for salvation. But to know God spiritually, we must be spiritually alive. To know God in spirit, to connect with God in spirit, we must have his spirit alive within us. But Ephesians chapter 2 tells us that our natural condition is not to be spiritually alive. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 1 says, for you were dead in trespasses and sins. We were spiritually dead. We may be physically alive, but because of our sin, we're spiritually dead. Verse 4 of that passage says, but God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he has loved us, made us alive together with Christ. For by grace you have been saved. It is God's act of grace that he chose us. And through the good news of the gospel, speaks to us so that we could put our faith in Jesus and then receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, his Spirit living in us, so then we can worship in spirit. But it's not just worshiping in spirit, is it? It's worshiping in spirit and in truth. And these two go right together. The Greek language that this is written in doesn't separate these two, puts it right together. Spirit and truth are two halves of the same thing. The Spirit is the attitude and conviction of our heart to praise and honor God through his Holy Spirit living in us. But then we have to have the truth. We can have all the enthusiasm we want, but without the truth, it will be a false worship. And so he said we must worship in spirit and then worship in truth. Well, the Bible tells us in Psalm 145, verse 18, the Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. Well, what is the truth? Well, in the New Testament, we find that Jesus is the truth. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. And in John 14, 6, Jesus said, I am the truth. And in Ephesians 4, 21, it says, the truth is in Jesus. So we want to know the truth, we come to Jesus. So we must worship in spirit, his spirit living in us, his truth through Jesus Christ that we have. So we know him, we've come to know God, and we can worship in spirit and in truth. Well, there's some other qualifications here that aren't found in this passage that Jesus spoke, but are clearly in the New Testament, and one of those is from 1 Peter chapter 2, which we already heard this morning, and it says, as you come to him, a living stone, Jesus, though crucified, rose from the dead, he is alive, and this is a passage from the Old Testament, which says, there was a stone that was rejected by the builders. They said, nah, that stone's no good. But God made that stone to be the cornerstone, the foundation for the whole structure. That stone is Jesus Christ. And it says, we're like living stones being built into a holy temple. But it's not like a temple in Bible times that was in Jerusalem, beautiful, grand structure. This living temple is where God's people are gathered together to offer him praises. Now, in the Old Testament temple, the people came and worshiped at the temple by bringing sacrifices. And we often think of a sacrifice as something we're giving up, something we really want, but we're going to give it to God. Okay, God, oh, it hurts, but I'm going to give it to you anyway. No, a sacrifice is really this. It's an offering given to God. It's something that is important to us, but we're recognizing that God is even more important than even our most treasured thing. God is what's really valuable, and if we bring our offerings to God, our sacrifices to God, we begin to understand the true value of what we have and the true value of who God is. And so we are reorientating our values here. And it says here in 1 Peter chapter 2 that we ourselves are being built like living stones into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood. A holy priesthood. Well, in the Old Testament, the priests brought the sacrifices and offered them to God. People bring their sacrifice to the priest offers it to God. Well, now Jesus Christ has opened the way right to God. We don't need a priest, the Bible tells us. We don't need any other go-between between us and God. We can bring our offerings and gift directly to God through Jesus Christ. He's the only mediator. He's the only go-between. And so now, guess what? If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, if you are a Christian, you are a priest. And priests would bring sacrifices to God. And what are the sacrifices that the Bible tells us that we can bring to God? In the Old Testament, there were various sacrifices. There were sin offerings. We don't have to bring those because Jesus Christ is already the offering for our sin. But there were thank offerings, there were praise offerings, there were other offerings that we could give to God, and there are offerings that we as Christians can bring to God. A sacrifice is something that is freely given and fully dedicated to God. And so the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies, your whole life, as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. So the first thing we can offer as God's priests, and we must offer, is our whole selves, our whole lives. Lay it on the altar. Lay it on the altar. The second thing we can bring is true repentance. True repentance. As we read in Psalm 51, verse 17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. Oh God, you will not despise. To be broken literally means to be crushed over our sin and see it as it really is, an offense to God. But we take that to God as a sacrifice, meaning we're going to bring our need to God. And we know that through the blood of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. It's a broken and contrite heart, oh God. He wants us to have a soft heart towards him. And that's why we begin our services with that sacrifice of a broken and contrite heart, of true repentance. Third, we can bring a sacrifice of praise. Hebrews 13:15 says that through Jesus, let us continually offer a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess his name. We bring a continual sacrifice of praise. And so you can worship God wherever you are, thanking him continually for all that he has done for us in Jesus Christ. And then in Hebrews 13:16, it says, do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. God is pleased by our good works that help our neighbor, that help others, that serve God. We have to hear that these sacrifices are not the sacrifices to cover our sins. No, Jesus Christ has already covered our sins once and for all. These are the sacrifices that we bring to God because he has already done that. We don't bring our sacrifices to God in order to be saved, but because we are saved through Jesus Christ, then we bring these sacrifices and they're acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. It says in Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. God created us for it, and it's in Christ. and it's through him. I want to end by just saying that becoming a true worshiper, are you ready to sign up for this task? God is seeking true worshipers. He's looking for people who will really worship him. And why should we sign up for this task? What's in it for us? Why is it that God is seeking worshipers? He's kind of insecure and he just needs us to kind of say, oh God, you're so good. We just want to worship and magnify you. Is God sort of an egomaniac that he needs our praise and worship? No. God is seeking worshipers not because he needs them. God doesn't need more worshipers. Read Daniel chapter 7. It says there are thousands times 10,000s of angels worshiping day and night around his throne. He doesn't need us to worship him. He's got worshipers. And they're worshiping freely. You know, all the angels had a choice. Satan and the demons chose not to worship God. And their destiny was sealed by that. But all the other angels said, yeah, oh, we want to do this. God is awesome. Why wouldn't we want to praise him? So why does God want us as worshipers? He doesn't need us as worshipers. God isn't seeking worshipers because he's an egomaniac and wants more praise and honor and glory to be given to him. He already has that. God is already infinitely more beautiful and infinitely glorious, infinitely good, infinitely kind and loving. God doesn't need anything more to complete him or to satisfy him. He doesn't need us. God desires worshipers because worship fulfills our heart's greatest desire and its greatest need. We all have this God-shaped vacuum in us. As the great mathematician Pascal said, we all have this need in our heart, this void in our heart that only God can fill, and we try to fill it with all sorts of things, but when we discover what true worship is, we discover what we're missing is God himself. And when we worship, we discover God is our greatest treasure. He is our soul's delight. We discover the true value of God's loving kindness, his steadfast love, his patience, his goodness, his joy, his peace. Does it sound like I'm getting excited about this? I only wish you would. Because when we come to God in true worship, we discover what we're really missing. He wants us to experience all of these things in his presence, his splendor, his majesty. We go on and on. If we could only see God for who he is, we would fall down and worship him because it's in God that fulfills our deepest need. God seeking worshipers for our benefit, not for his. Earlier we read from Timothy that God desires all to be saved, not for his benefit, for yours. Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? He wants all to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. Is Jesus Christ your Savior? We can't become true worshipers unless we cross that first divide and give our hearts to him. And then having our hearts filled with himself, with his Spirit inside of us, we can offer God the worship he deserves and the worship that we can enjoy and the worship that will fulfill us and glorify God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, this is a lot. And Father, I hope and I pray if there's anyone out there playing hide and seek with you, they would cry out like my little granddaughter often does, here I am, here I am. Oh Lord, Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. And those who have been saved, he's seeking among those true worshipers so that they can enjoy your goodness and find in you their greatest treasure. Oh Lord, help us to want to sign up as worshipers of yours. And if there's anyone here, Lord, today that does not know you, have a saving knowledge of you through Jesus, I pray that they would cry out to you today, Lord Jesus, I know you died for me on the cross. I believe that you rose again so that my sins can be forgiven. I can have eternal life with you. And I ask you to come into my heart and into my life that I can truly worship you. Truly worship the Father. And I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.